It is Thursday, May 9th, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today, presented to you by our friends over at Factor. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan along for the ride as well. And a quick reminder that you got to get your best question of the week in tonight. It's our Factor question of the week. If you give us a good one, one that makes us laugh, one that makes us think, one that makes us curious, we will use it on Friday's show. And we will make you famous by announcing your Twitter handle. Or X handle, or just your name. So we can't wait for that. What's up, man?
What's up, Chris? We both got our Pirates hats on today. Probably everyone who's watching this show understands why. Also, don't forget, yes, the Factor question, but Sunday's Mother's Day. So like, make sure you got something. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant. A well-written card is my go-to.
Yes. Well written. That is very, very important.
Yeah, put some time into it. Don't just say, hey, happy Mother's Day. You know, like, you know, express yourself via the pen.
That's what it's all about right here. We're both emotional people. We're not softies. We're emotional people.
We do love our wives probably more than any other show on.
Probably. Here. We don't sit here and make fun of them and all that other. That's ridiculous. We don't do that. No, we don't. Start off with a tip of the cap. I saw this play. I saw one of the highlights on X, and then Jimmy did a quick little thing. Here you go. If you didn't see it, it's very funny.
Great interaction in the crowd in this Yankees game. This ball is going to land fair, goes into the crowd. That kid snags it. He's proud of himself, getting high fives. His dad or whoever's with him is like, David, that's a fair ball. He's like, oh, it came in the, it's landed fair. I don't want it. Then the kid's happy. The security, it was foul? It was foul? Security goes, no, it was fair. He's like, oh, shit. Oh, David.
Oh, Dave. The dad's like, don't give me that ball.
Right, exactly.
I'm not getting in trouble.
Yeah, kid, I'll pick you up from the pokey after the game. Don't worry. That's great. Nothing happened to the kid, right?
Yeah, they threw him in jail. You're right.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. He'll be out.
Is Yankee jail a thing? Has to be. There's for sure a Yankee jail.
Well, there is one in Philly for football. There used to be one in the Vet. And then I think they moved it over to the Link because it became so popular, you know, that they were like, and they have their own judge and everything.
Oh, like a real one. I was just kind of kidding.
Oh, no. Like,
you're
I think
serious.
Oh, no, being very serious.
You know, as a former Philly, I don't even know what I was going to say. I just want to remind people that I was cool once upon a time.
You're still cool. Eh. Let's talk about the other team from the state of Pennsylvania. The Pittsburgh Pirates. It's the reason we're both donning these really cool caps today, because it's finally happened. After weeks and weeks of us asking, why in the world is Paul Skene still throwing pitches for their AAA team? He won't. The next pitch he throws will be a major league one, and it's coming at home Saturday against the Chicago Cubs. He, of course, Paul Skene's the number one overall pick in last year's draft. He's definitely the most anticipated pitcher arrival since Steven Strasburg, right? Not close.
I think so. And, you know, more and more, because we have social media and because we have all these different outlets covering the game in college and prospects, you know, we're hearing more about, you know, these guys and their personal lives. And we're becoming more and more attached to, you know, prospects that are coming up, especially a guy like this who's, I mean, Chris, 45 Ks and 27 and a third innings, 0.99 ERA. Like, anytime you watch a highlight, you know, it's just him blowing fastballs by guys. And, you know, he's the biggest hype prospect since Strasburg to come up. There's no doubt about it. I'm very excited to see it, almost for the same reason I was excited to see Jackson Holliday, because, you know, you want to see, like, what he can do against big league hitters. Like, there's a difference. Like, I know it's still affiliated ball. It's professional baseball in AAA. But now, you know, you're facing the best of the best every single day. And is this stuff going to translate? Yes, people, it's going to translate. It's not going to be as good as that. I you know, you're not going to have a 0.99. You're not going to strike out two guys per inning. But maybe he will. Like, I'm fascinated. Like, maybe his first start, he will. It's all about, for me at least, it's all about wanting to see this guy perform against the best. And I think that's what he wants too. And it could go either way. You could just go kind of like a Jackson Holliday, where it was a big time struggle bus for him, or he could blow guys away and we're looking at the next Garrett Cole. It's either way. It's fascinating.
We'll talk more tomorrow on Friday's show about, you know, our expectations this weekend and all that sort of stuff. I'm just talking about the atmosphere around him. When I found out, first of all, I didn't know the Pirates schedule. So I was like, okay, is he making a debut at home or is he on the road? I'm thinking he's got to be at home. They want to get that gate. That's awesome. And then I was like, well, what time is it? And I think it's at 4:10 in the afternoon, Pittsburgh time. And then I thought to myself, is there any way we could frickin' put this thing on national TV and also get rid of all sort of blackout? Like, they should make that the free game of the day on streaming services. Make as many eyeballs get to wherever you can so that we can watch this guy.
You know who doesn't want that? You know who doesn't want that? Whatever network broadcasts Pirates games. They're like, no, this is our chance for people to subscribe to our thing. I mean, that's the cat and mouse game here.
There's no cat and mouse. If we're going to try.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying.
I mean, really, let's be honest here. Let's get this on. I remember I was working at MLB Network when Strasburg made his debut, and we were the ones that had it, his 14 strikeout game. Oddly enough, against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I don't think that this is going to be on national TV. I think this is in Fox's window for their weekend. If that's true, they should scrap every other game and they should just put this one on. And it's that simple, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should. This is how you grow the game. You have a guy that's highly heralded, and I think a lot of people like me just want to see this guy compete against the best. So yeah, I mean, that would be the best case scenario for baseball, and you know, trying to, you know, garner new fans, I guess. But it's not going to happen, Chris. I don't foresee it happening.
But shouldn't baseball do everything in its power to make sure that it does?
Yes. Yes, they should.
I mean, think of what the NFL does on a weekly basis. They can flex out of games.
Yeah.
They can tell teams your game is no longer at 8:20 on Sunday night. It has been bounced to 1:05.
Yeah, because you're not as interesting as this other game that we have.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL does a lot of things well as far as presenting their game. There's no doubt about it.
Right. And I understand that there's a total difference because every game is nationally broadcast. And so it's a lot easier instead of dealing with local contracts and regional deals. And I understand all of that. But this, I'm not saying we do this every week. But this is, we're talking about, when did Strasburg make his debut? Was it 2010 or 2011?
I want to say it's 2010.
It was 2010. Okay. So it's been almost 15 years. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, once every few years. When Harper made his debut, we did it then. When Jackson Holliday made his debut, we made a big deal about it. We're not talking about doing this every 3 weeks. We're talking about doing it every few years. And
they didn't do it for Holliday, though, right? There wasn't.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about in terms of importance, the importance of a debut or something like that. Then let's make it feel big as it is.
Agreed.
To us that love the game. It should be as important to those people that are running the frickin' game.
Okay. So like, we're only going to do this because we have some young guy coming out to the big leagues for the first time. What else would you want to do this for?
Not much.
Marquee matchups. Like they kind of try to plan those out before the season. And a lot of times it doesn't work out. I think they do that, don't they? Like they'll give some Sunday night games to people that didn't start with it in the schedule. I believe they'll move some games.
They do, but there's not the immediacy when you play each other at least six times a year, right? If you're not in, as long as you're in the same league, right? As long as teams are in, we're not talking about AL versus NL where it's only three meetings a year. I'm talking about if you're in the same league, it's a minimum of six meetings a year. And then if you're in the same division, it's a minimum of, it's 13.
Yeah.
So there's not the immediate. This is a tentpole moment for the sport. Let's blow it up. And you're going against the Chicago Cubs, too.
It's great, yeah. In-division matchup.
Libby Dunn's going to be there. Come on, folks. Don't give me that. No, that's a big deal.
I agree. I know where you're coming. It's important. This is becoming like a pop culture event a little bit, at least to some people.
This is as close as baseball could get to the Taylor Swift effect.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew
it's true. I'm not comparing the two. I'm saying it's as close as the sport can get to it because there is no equivalent.
Well, it's Cole Tucker, Vanessa Hudgens.
It's not.
Okay. You're right.
Because I don't want to go down that road. Okay. And that's not a shot at what was happening. I'm just saying.
You just shot at Cole Tucker. Now I have did to not. Fight you. Yeah, it's tough.
Did not. I love Cole.
I'm just kidding.
I'm happy he's doing well. All right. A couple of established pitchers took it to their old teams or old organizations on Wednesday. Chris Sale traded by Boston to Atlanta in the offseason. 6 shutout innings, 10 strikeouts. Dylan Cease, an original draft pick of the Chicago Cubs, shoved at Wrigley. 1 hit, 7 shutout innings, 12 strikeouts. You can have one of those two dudes the rest of the year. Oh, look at you shaking your head. You can have one of those two dudes. Who are you taking?
Oh, man. Honestly, trying to figure out which one to pick was a difficult task. I like both these guys. Immediately, my mind went to Chris Sale. I just think he's a different kind of pitcher. He has that equalizer slider that can, you know, do damage to both righties and lefties. But then I started digging into the numbers, and they're both very good. Like, you can't go really wrong with this answer. I'm going to go with Dylan Cease. I'm going to tell you why. It's I don't know if it's a good enough reason, but this is my reason. Okay. He has absolutely dominated right-handed hitters, dominated them. Chris Sale, no platoon splits, but a 580 OPS against either right-handers or left-handers. That's what I think of when I think of Chris Sale. Like, he's just good against anybody. But Dylan Cease has a 570 OPS against left-handers and a 290. A 290 OPS against right-handers. Chris, they're 8 for 86. In those 86 ABs, they've only had 2 extra base hits. 33 strikeouts, 5 walks. They're hitting 93 against him. 093. Batting average against him, 140 slug for a 290 OPS. So, like, again, I think all of both these guys are good. They've both been pitching deep into games. Their pitch counts have been up. It's been really nice to see. They're both like in walk years, like, you know. So, like, there's a lot of motivation for both of them. But just because how dominant Cease has been against right-handers, I'll take Cease.
Well, neither are in their walk year. Sale got.
I think they're free agents.
Sale got a little bit of an extension down there in Atlanta after he got traded.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're right. He's got
free agent after next year.
I don't know what I was looking at.
That's okay, though. But the rest of it.
Point remains the same. I'll take Cease just because of that one statistic against right-handed batters.
Yeah. I love it that Sale has, you know, kind of bounced back from all that physically has ailed him in recent times to, you know, reestablish himself as a dominant force in his mid-30s. I think it's really cool. I'm fascinated by Dylan Cease because I just think he's got some of the nastiest stuff in baseball. Like, I love watching him pitch. The one thing that has made me want to turn off the TV when I do watch him is the number of walks he has. That there's nothing worse. It's why Snell has bothered me in terms of a guy who's got electric stuff, but I'm like, stop walking the world. If I want to go watch people walk somebody, I'll go down the street and watch Little League. Like, please throw strikes. I need help here. Even if I don't, if I'm not rooting for anybody in the game, it's just hard to watch. Cease, it feel like, has gotten it a little bit under control. He had 1 5 walk start this year. Other than that, he had a 3 walk start and everything's been 2 or less. Yet last night, 2. Great. Can deal with it. Because when he's not walking the world, he's as filthy as there is in this sport. And in terms of run prevention, 5 of his last 6 starts, he has given up 1 earned run or less. That is dominant stuff.
Yeah, no, he's again, I don't think you can go wrong. And I am very excited for both these guys that they're off to the start that they're, you know, that they're off to. And obviously that both their respective clubs are excited about it as well. Cause you bring these guys over and I think you have dreams of them performing this way. You know, I don't think the expectation necessarily was for them to be this good, if you're being realistic, but they've been nasty.
Nasty. All right. It's almost summertime. School's almost out. You know what that means? You got to look your best when you're taking the kids to the beach or just walking around, doing your thing, riding your bikes, having fun. Go get these bad boys. Shady Rays, they have you covered with premium polarized shades that will not break the bank. Shady Rays, of course, it's an independent sunglass company offering a world-class product. It's rated 5 stars by more than 300,000 people. Their shades, they have the durable frames. They have the crystal clear optics. You look amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
Making them the perfect choice for all outdoor adventures. Plus, if your shades ever go missing or take an unexpected hit, you're not going to sweat it. They have the most insane protection in the history of eyewear. Every pair is backed by lost or broken replacements. We've talked about this, right? We live near an ocean out here in LA. If I go running on the beach shirtless and I'm just running, all of a sudden these things fall off my face and they go into the Pacific, I'm like, damn, what happened? I call up Shady Rays. They're like, Rose, were you trying to build that body up in the sexy way that you do yet again? Yeah. Did you lose your shades again? Yeah. Don't worry. They'll take care of you. And one other thing. If you don't love your shades, exchange them for a new pair or return them worry-free within 30 days. By the way, I haven't come across one person who's like, those shades sucked. Not at all. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head on over to ShadyRays.com. Use that code word today. You're going to get 50% off 2+ pair of polarized sunglasses. And that offer applies to the custom Jimmy and Jake collab shades. So go get yours now. We return to action with a crazy, crazy game in our nation's capital last night, Beltway Series. Nats came back and tied it a couple of runs down in the ninth, and then they came back in the 11th and did the same before the Orioles won it in 12. But I want to take you back to the ninth inning because Craig Kimbrell, who's been battling some health issues, came off a few days rest, couldn't get the job done. And then Brandon Hyde came in and pulled him with two outs to go lefty-lefty against C.J. Abrams. Didn't work out there. As I said, the Orioles won the game. But as far as Craig Kimbrell and the closer's role, Skip?
We're going to stick with him. I mean, this guy's got big-time track record. He's a Hall of Famer. And we need to get him right. He's big for us. So, you know, it's important that we get him right.
So they're going to stick with him. Let's start with that. Is that the right move?
Yeah, I think so. With a guy like him, he's mentioned his track record. I think there are going, just like any other player, you know, there's going to be ups and downs throughout a season. You've seen that with closers. And, you know, I think that they could look to get him in some different types of games, maybe change the rest or something like that, maybe make some sort of adjustment. But I don't think you need to completely pull him from the closer role. I mean, it's the only thing that makes me think that they might do that is the walks. The walks are very, very concerning. That's the one thing you don't want your closer to be doing. If he's getting hit around a little bit every once in a while, like that's going to happen. Like guys are going to put good swings on balls. These are professional hitters. Like a lot of guys like to say, they drive nice cars too. The walks though, when you're giving free passes over his last five games, Chris, it's been 7 walks to 4 strikeouts in his last 5 appearances. And that includes one game against the Nats where he went 0 walks and struck out everybody, struck out 3 guys. So the appearances haven't been great. So, again, like I don't think you need to completely take him away from the closer role, but maybe change up, you know, like I said, like maybe not go back-to-back or maybe find him one game, find him a low-leverage situation to get into. I mean, I don't know if they're going to do that. But change something up, but I think you can give him a little bit more time. But if the walks continue and you're just continuously putting traffic on the base paths, I mean, then I think it can become a real conversation that even Kimbrell would say, okay, like we know what the team's aspirations are. We need to win games. We're in a dead heat with the Yankees right now. Like these games are very important. Doesn't matter that it's May. There could be a time to make a change. I don't think it's necessarily there just yet.
Well, we've seen Kimbrell lose his role even when he was more elite than he is now, right? 2018 World Series. We talked about Chris Sale earlier. He was the one that got the last out for Boston winning it all. It wasn't Craig Kimbrell. And by the way, he's not alone. There have been plenty of other very, very good closers who haven't closed out big series.
Sure.
The thing that worries me a little bit was that, like, last night, as long as health-wise he was okay, it felt like the perfect scenario, right? Multi-run lead, hadn't pitched in 3 days, so well-rested, 6-7-8 coming up in the order, and he couldn't get out of it. And then when with 2 outs, and he'd only thrown 19 pitches, he hadn't thrown 29 or 32, he had thrown only 19 pitches, I know it's C.J. Abrams, but to say we're going to go lefty-lefty, like, that would never happen when Craig Kimbrel was at his best. It wasn't even a thought. And when Hyde walked out there, I was like, I guess I don't blame him. But this is kind of where Craig Kimbrel is. And so I feel like for the last 2 years, we've talked a lot about, well, which young guys are the Orioles going to trade for starting pitching? I think the question this year is, who are they going to trade for bullpen help?
Yeah, 100% we could see that. I mean, obviously losing Bautista changed everything for them. They bring in Kimbrel. And the reason I say we shouldn't take him out of the closer role just yet, unless you have a move that you're going to bring in another legitimate closer, right. Like you want this guy to get right. You want him to be himself in the playoffs. You want him to be closing out games in a playoff series. But, you know, you're not going to let him do it if it's like this. Like in the playoffs, you ride your hot hand. That's just how it goes. And Kimbrel understands that. So, yes, I mean, he can't continue, you know, the way he's looked over the last, you know, five or six outings. That won't continue. You can't keep him in the closer spot if he continues to do that. I just don't think it's time necessarily yet to make that change.
I'm fair. I think that's fine. But
That's not to say that, you know, come a save situation, someone else isn't out there.
Oh, that always happens throughout a six-month season. But I do think they end up trading for bullpen help.
Michael Kopech is available.
Is it going to be a closer role? Well, I need somebody more established if I'm talking total back end. But if I'm talking live arm to help you get through your other important innings, absolutely. Why not? All right, you mentioned O's and Yankees share the AL East penthouse. New York won its sixth straight this season against Houston last night. Soto, Judge, Stanton all went deep. Carlos Rodon worked into the seventh. He was phenomenal. What is the bigger story, the three-headed hitting monster or the pitching of the lefty in this one?
I can't wait to ask producer Dan if I got this one right after the show. I'm going to go with Carlos Rodon, and I think I have a good reason why. Going into this season, Gerrit Cole out, there were so many question marks in that rotation. Like every single person was a question mark. Nestor Cortez, not so great of a year last year. Marcus Stroman really struggled in the second half of last year. Luis Gil, like did anybody expect anything out of this guy? I saw him throw him spring training. I was like, this guy's got a live arm, really like it. I don't know if that's going to translate to a 2.92 through seven starts. And then Clark Schmidt also last year, you know, not great, close to a 5 ERA. So many question marks. Those guys have answered. They've answered the bell. With Gerrit Cole going out, and now you have like legit five starters doing it for you. I mean, they're having a phenomenal year to start the year. I think that's more important. I think you knew bringing Soto over, he was going to be a good hitter. You know what kind of hitter Judge can be. Stanton's like the cherry on top. It's beautiful to see those guys put in work together. You know, Rizzo's coming along as well. The lineup is fine. This was the biggest question mark coming into the season. And not only has Rodon answered the bell, but the rest of these guys as well. So I think that's a bigger deal, especially with Cole out. Now you're going to have six guys you can trust when Cole comes back. That's a great problem to have for the Yankees.
I am amazed. Listen, Aaron Judge is the partial owner of New York City. I'm talking about across the sporting landscape, right? Some people will say Jalen Brunson is the dude that owns the city. I don't think football-wise right now there's anybody that can change in a hurry with those teams. But Juan Soto and what he has done here, I think he has set a remarkable tone to where he has become the dude in pinstripes. And that's saying something
I think Judge is still the king of that city. Now Soto's a shiny new toy. We love him. He could potentially be co-king with Judge, but not until he's got a long-term deal there.
I think Yankee fans are willing to ride it for whatever it is. I think most of them expect him to stay because it's the Yankees, and I understand that thought process. The dude is slugging almost 600. His slugging percentage is 100 points higher than both Judge and Stanton. That's pretty damn impressive, dude. Like every time
he's a stud.
And, you know, as great a hitter as he was in San Diego and in Washington, I don't remember a ton of home runs that he was hitting 440 feet, but God, it feels like his home runs have been more prodigious in pinstripes.
I mean, he's looking at that right field and saying, I can get into that freaking third deck with ease.
Jeez, oh man. And look at this
that's
one. Nice. Left.
I mean, that's filthy. Going oppo like that. I mean, that's the big part of the park right there.
That's
only
like
a few players got the pop to go out that way. Okay, Chris.
Yeah, that was the Ohtani shot from the other night.
Maybe I took Phil Hughes deep into the bullpen. Maybe.
Yeah, but you're right-hander.
Oh yeah.
That's you.
Let me live my life, Chris. Sometimes I need a little pick me up, even if it's from myself. Okay.
That's the equivalent of you hitting it to right center.
I have gone to right center in Yankee Stadium as well.
I know. I know. 440?
No, I couldn't hit the ball like once. So come on, man.
It's okay. Once?
Not many people could. Oh, have I gone 440? Of course, I think. I wonder what my longest homer is. I have no idea.
Oh, come on. You know what?
I swear that I have no clue. I have one that I think is my longest homer.
Which one?
I went... now I'm forgetting it. What was I just going to say? Oh, San Diego, I hit one. Like 2014, I hit a freaking absolute tank job there.
San Diego. Into the warehouse?
Yeah, it was like in the second deck, left center. I think it was a bomb.
Nice.
One of my favorite swings I've ever taken. But I have no idea how far it went.
430. You went
That's
432 in 2015. We'll just look at his home run chart on baseball. It'll say the distance. So we'll see if we can get that by the end.
This show's not about me, Chris. Let's move on.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
I'm so old that I can't even track my stuff.
This is amazing. Speaking of stats, LSU softball, an extra inning winner in the conference tournament over Alabama. Sydney Berzin went the full 14 innings, throwing 208 pitches. How shocked were you when you heard that number?
That's an insane amount of pitches. Now, I know people are saying, oh, that's the natural motion of the arm, and the softball pitchers can throw, you know, back-to-back games and doubleheaders, but just the fact that you went 14 innings, 208, that's like Burt Blyleven back in the 70s, man. Pretty impressive.
I saw her on the SEC network desk, I believe, afterward, and she didn't know how many pitches she had thrown. They told her, and she gave the old, what?
I guess I'm curious, like, is she sore, like, in the arm after that?
Okay. They asked her. They said, could you throw tomorrow? And she's like, absolutely, I could.
Yeah, like, they can. Like, that's just that. It's the natural motion of your arm.
I couldn't believe that. When she said it, she didn't even hesitate. She wasn't like, oh, well, we'll see how sore I am. She was like, yeah, absolutely, I could throw tomorrow.
That's insane. Like, what about the legs? Aren't the legs sore? Like, that's a lot of, like, it's not just your arm when you pitch, man. Like, in fact, like, if you're not a pitcher, if you're, a civilian or a position player, and you go try to pitch, it's your arm, but it's also your butt, like, in your lower back. So, like, you know, there's a lot of strain that gets put on. That's 204 pitches is nuts, or 208, whatever it was.
3-2 was the final in that one, 14 innings.
I played long toss the other day, and I am still sore.
Yeah.
I got to get back in throwing shape, man.
No. It's over.
There is such a thing as throwing shape. I am not in throwing shape right now.
It is over, brother. It's over. Welcome to this side. Welcome to the dark side.
I think I'm about to have, I think I have to like take over and help coach Teddy's travel team now. So it's not over for me. I got to get back into baseball shape.
Oh God. I hate it when travel teams are coached by former major leaguers. Oh God.
We had practice from 6:30 to 8 last night. What are we doing here?
Oh, that's short.
That's late though.
Isn't he? You said he's 8 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's short. Yeah.
Well, we also, I mean, there's more practices during the week. That's not their only practice.
Yeah, wait till he starts making all-star teams, and then we got two-a-days. We got hitting practice in the morning and then real practice in the afternoon. Oh, these.
If I'm the coach, that ain't happening.
Yeah, well.
We're not doing two-a-days. They're too young for any of that.
You think it, but once you start playing for district and sectionals and stuff, oh, yeah.
We don't even play Little League. We don't play All-Stars. We all do is tournaments and stuff like that.
I know. But you'll play Little League and All-Stars. That's the fun stuff. Brady's still super tight with all those guys. And there's
I wish we did, but we don't have a Little League that's like close to us that we want to play at. So we won't do Little League. Maybe he'll go back to his Pony League. But
Little League's the best. The All-Stars. Those are fun.
I don't know. What's it called?
Definitely got to do Cooperstown.
Not Cooperstown. Yeah, I want to do that, but the other place.
Well, I don't know what the other
Little League World Series. Where's that at?
Oh, that well, yeah, That's in
Williamsport.
That's the Little League. Right. Those are the all-star teams that you have to represent.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not travel. All right. We're back at it again on Friday. We'll shoot for 12:15 Eastern takeoff.
Yes. You okay? That's great that? For me. Thank you. Great. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. For our amazing one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, I am Chris Rose. We will see you Friday here on Baseball Today, presented to you by Factor.